Sound okay? Feeling the touch of the air. The quality. And just that it's marvelous, that it is a marvel that the air can be felt by that skin. skin of the mouth and throat and the outer skin. Perhaps there is some sense of the body and the space around the body in a simple way. Lightly falling in. Something like drops of rain on the surface of a lake. Maybe we could feel the surface of the mind active, checking the sounds, sniffing them. Is it safe? Is it good? Is it scary? Is it bad? Feeling the difference between this activated surface of the mind and the sound experience itself. And maybe some deeper layer of mind that's not involved in checking the sounds. We could notice if the quality of the surface of the mind is something like an alarm system. Checking our borders, tense. Over alert. Could be kind of shut down or giving up. is the surface of the mind over alertness, alarm system, is felt more clearly in the upper and front body. And if we could start to feel the lower and back body as if we're feeling our way down into the lake, into a lake and towards the bottom. Maybe resting back and down, there's that busy, active, alarm state of mind way up there with all its waves. And something I can feel in the back or the lower belly or the seat. Or the feet. As if there's a magnet. Kind of gentle magnet, maybe in the lower belly. Where you could rest your head. Stay connected. Under the radar of thinking. So it could be feeling connected and staying in the lower belly. Down below the surface waves. Or it could be staying connected in the lower belly while also feeling that lower belly within the whole body, or within the whole body in a sense of space around the whole body. Gradually, you'll start to find your way. Either feeling some resonance with one of the many different ways I suggested yesterday, today, of practicing. Or with your own way that's coming up as more helpful for you. Connection to aliveness here and now in your own way. And yet, in silence, in a group, in a room, actually here and yourself. So if you liked the openness and immediacy of feeling sounds arriving from all directions, and resting in that immediacy, that happening by itself just now and gone, that discovery of the quickness and ease of what's already aware. Or if you felt more resonance with being really quietly, almost what could feel like dumbly in the lower belly. Just quiet. Not needing to be smart or special. Or if your feet call you. So we're not saying don't do anything, just lie there, but finding how little effort is needed to hear or to feel. What kind of effort helps her stay connected? Maybe a more friendly way of effort, more being held by the magnet of the belly. Rest is what allows energy to come in. So a way of practicing that is sustaining itself. Energy comes as if from a spring, underwater spring coming into the lake, filling the lake quietly. And being willing to be filled. Being willing that it's not about me doing it right. My own practice is not about me. Willing to be in touch and to be filled with life. Perhaps growing long, perhaps spreading wide into the ground and open. If there's a lot of thinking or emotion or story that's like a wild horse that's hard to stay on, then perhaps adding the breathing process. Perhaps in the lower belly, feeling also the movements of breathing. In whatever way is possible and helpful. Its own sake, the breath just as a help for an ease of connection to aliveness. And what can feel like a disappearance into that connection. What I felt was me and what I thought was me goes quiet and disappears in the connection. That presence. It's not about me. And it has room for me. And it's not about me. That's not about my thoughts about aliveness. But it's here anyway. And then there's the marvel of thinking anyway, and the marvel of noticing that something called I was thinking. Something that can notice that I was distracted. And then there's lower belly also. Is there any question?
It's a kind of technical question. One is, do you have a suggestion as how to do, say, like in itching feeling when I meditate? Like, should I scratch it or not? And the second, sometimes, so when I meditate, sometimes I'm very present in the meditation, and sometimes it's very clear that I'm not present. But often I'm not sure whether I'm sleeping or not.
Mm-hmm.
And is there a way to, like, kind of be more certain than that I'm there?
Sorry, Tyler. The first question is if there's itching in the meditation, what to do, to scratch or not. And itching is really interesting because it can be hard to bear.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, it's usually not life-threatening.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be a really good time to play with stillness, but not as a brick wall that you're putting on yourself. To play with what is the actual sensation there? And is there somewhere else that feels it would so love to stay in stillness? And kind of if that could be the game, let's say if we're like a bag of water, and over here is some itching sensation that our attention is kind of compelled there to go there. But we deliberately feel over here it's heavier, there's more water, it's more quiet. Can we kind of pour ourselves that way? Other times you might feel that what's happening is that sort of fight thing, internal fight, like I should stay still. And then you could feel that fight happening and feel what else is here. But if it sort of becomes an occupation that you can feel is keeping you on the surface, sometimes you can just really quietly find a way that's making the sensation a bit less. Well, just noticing what happens when sometimes the hand goes there without your permission and starts scratching. Or sometimes like, and just feeling those ripples, how does that go? And then the second question
was about actually there's more to this question.
Okay.
Like
let me say the first part first.
Huh?
Let me say what you said so far first.
Okay.
That he feels sometimes he's definitely more present, and other times he feels certainly not present. But many times he feels he's in between and he doesn't know if he's asleep or what.
Yeah.
And the question, the why I laughed is the question is there a way to be more certain?
Yeah, that I'm there. But
that if I'm present or not in
yeah.
that.
And the continuation of this question is like, there's something about this boundary that is confused. Like, what is the difference between lying down to meditate and lying down to bed?
Mm-hmm.
Like, something there is not quite clear to me,
mm-hmm.
like, the difference.
Yeah. And what do you find to be the difference for yourself?
I mean, it's confusing because I would say, like, when I meditate, I try to let go. But then when I go to bed, I think I let go even more.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. So he says, what he's sure of is that it's very confusing. What's the difference between lying down to go to sleep in bed and lying down to meditate? And when he comes to meditate and lies down, his feeling is about letting go. And when he goes to bed to go to sleep, his feeling is about letting go even more. So I would, first of all, just invite you to keep very much in the background some interest. Not a really big foreground interest, but that you could, it could be possible for you to feel, is there some difference? It seems like it's kind of different how it goes. It seems like that something natural happens when I lie down to meditate that's different from that natural thing that happens when I lie down to sleep. And maybe if I don't interfere much, it might, I might get a sense of what's going on. So not to be freaked out that it's confusing is the first part of the response that comes to mind. Confusing is not a bad sign. One of the teachers of mine, so from Japanese art called Jin Shinjutsu, Mary Burmeister, says confusion is a very good sign. Because what we were taking as reality, that's only my imagination, my fabrication, my interpretation, is called into question. So I feel confused because I don't know how to think about things. Because the way I was thinking about it is called into question by reality. Sometimes. So similarly, if we're trying to feel what's the difference between when I know I'm awake, when I know I'm asleep, and when I'm not sure if I'm awake or asleep. And if we could like wipe away to the side for now the wish to be certain. And okay, we can investigate, feel, where does that wish to be certain come from? There might be some real care in there, like I don't want to just be wasting my time, I want to make the most of this weekend or this life. And maybe what else is mixed in there? What else is mixed in there with some genuine care? Maybe feeling worried or the assumption that certainty is safe or helpful or a good starting point. And then I would be uncertain about that assumption. I would call into question the way that we think certainty is a good way to be. Just check out how is it when you feel really certain about something. Usually there's an underlying insecurity. And yet what we're trapped in is the feeling of being certain. And the more insecure, the more certain I am. So basically what it means is the more out of touch I am with what's really happening, which is I'm feeling really insecure. And maybe the more important it is to me, the more likely that movement or slip. So not to make a new like ideology that uncertainty is rules, it's the best, or whatever. A new certainty that uncertainty is right. And if we're not trying to find out what's the right way or the wrong way, how can I be sure of what's happening? Which is like, how can I have the correct idea about what's happening? Then if we kind of wipe away that mental approach and find ourselves in touch with sometimes being not sure if I'm asleep or awake, I'm more in touch and it's more likely that I can feel for myself what's going on here. Eventually, with time, with practice. And I recommend allowing that more dreamy, as I mentioned yesterday, more dreamy mind. And it can be confusing because we think about awakening and awakeness, and everybody talks about being alert.
The next question.
And even talking about presence, be present. And just checking, like, what's present? What's present when I think I'm present? And what's present when I am gone and life is here? And even what's present when I'm asleep. What's present when I'm asleep. Why not? Okay. Is there anything that knows that I was just asleep and now I'm awake? And what is that? And it's not going to help to be thinking about that, but to be trusting that we all have experience of that. If not, we wouldn't be here. If we had slept and then woken up, we wouldn't be sitting in this room. You wanted to say something?
Yeah, maybe. I was always fascinated by the process of being awakened and then asleep, the process itself.
Mm-hmm.
And in this meditation camp, I had two possibilities when I was lying down. One time I just felt that I disappear, like he says, and the other time I felt that it's just my conscious mind is disappearing, but then I get into another unconscious mind, which is the dreaming mind. So actually, I'm feeling like I'm mistaking somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think my consciousness is my conscious mind. I'm mistaking between the two. So how can my conscious mind is disappearing all of a sudden? But then when I'm dreaming, I'm seeing something. But it's a different kind of awareness that sees.
Yeah. Could you hear?
No.
Yeah. No. Okay. I wish you could have heard how he said it. It's been better. Could you?
It's difficult now.
I know.
Oh, you can do it. It's okay.
So just now in the meditation, if I understood well, that experience of falling asleep and already being interested in that process of falling asleep before, and today it happened. And once it happened where it was then the conscious mind or self disappeared. And how is that?
It's like death, probably.
What do you mean?
You don't see anything.
Okay. So there was a sense of nothing. And then another time, there was a disappearing of the conscious mind, but there was the unconscious mind, so it was a dreaming kind of mind. So different quality. And he's now wondering, maybe I was confusing the word consciousness with the conscious waking experience. Because he's realizing, first of all, in when there's nothing, there's something that's aware of nothing, you could say. You remember it.
Yeah.
And then also when we could say unconscious mind or dreaming mind is there, something is able to experience it. So it's widening the sense of what consciousness might be. And also then what awake might mean. Good. Thank you for waiting for us. I want to just mention from this art of Jinshin Jutsu a few things you can do with your hands that might help in meditation, also outside the hall and inside the hall. One is just holding any finger of either hand, no special way, just contact. More than one finger is also fine. Whichever one you like, it all helps. And then a little further from sort of not doing much. You might find your hands strong somewhere, but inner knees can be good. Lying on your side, that's possible. Sitting, that's possible. There's another good one that's a little even more complicated. Let's see, maybe like this. The tailbone and the neck. On your side, how it could be, or just when you're resting outside the hall. It's not likely to be comfortable for a full 45 minutes, so probably not like a meditation posture in here until you try it and see if it works for you for a longer time. Can be good. Cheekbone and under the collarbone also can be done on your side or just in your free time. And then one that sometimes works as a meditation posture for that full 45 minutes is what I mean, sometimes not. So shoulder and hip. And this can also be good during a walking meditation, if you have pockets. Put your hand in. Or you can wrap, you can eat. Pocket. And the hand on the shoulder, usually, if you have skin-to-skin contact, works better, just because it sticks better, so you can relax. And then I'm going to try to go to walking meditation without the microphone. Let's see. If you can't see, you might want to come and see. And anyway, please come to standing. This could be, even though it doesn't look that comfortable, it could be a nice hand position for standing or walking practice. And all of these hand positions are just ways that someone might naturally end up. If they were feeling natural, they might let their hands go to the shoulders or go to the arms. Or just holding a wrist or a finger while you're standing or walking. And for some people, this sort of is a key difference, that the mind more easily agrees to be more quiet. And it's more possible to then enjoy meditation. So, and anyway, maybe it helps, why not try it? So please, standing up now. We'll go over a little bit of suggestions for walking meditation, starting with standing, which can be a great way of meditating as well. And including if you find in your life a difficulty in or some kind of need to stand for something or take a stand or grow up or that kind of thing, it can be interesting to actually just stand. And sometimes standing among trees is kind of, you're just like one of the trees. Can feel a bit more friendly. But anyway, you could choose, let yourself, kind of let your feet choose a spot for standing or walking, or in a childlike way, or what about, I find myself over here, does this feel okay to me over here? Yeah, this is like a good spot. Okay. And here you are. For walking, it would be good to have, you know, maybe 10, 20 meters that you could walk back and forth. Some people like to go in a circle. It's also, I highly recommend going on a walk or a jog or whatever sometime during the day. And at the same time, really honoring the walking meditation time, or at least sometime during the day, a couple times to do walking, formal walking practice. So please feel free to go on a walk, and please feel free to check out. You're not going anywhere walking. Walking with no reason, no purpose. So you found your place that you feel like walking, that's good enough. And here are your feet. And allowing yourself to feel gravity coming through in this different way, being more vertical. And finding your hands position, what that does to the shoulder, chest, how that all filters into the pelvic bowl and hips, down the legs. And so just in these really basic ways, coming into humanity, noticing what we talked about last night. Can you hear me okay? Am I being loud enough? Maybe come closer if you can't hear well enough. And I'll also try to be louder. So standing with the feet a bit apart and the eyes maybe closed, and letting that
outer layers of the body, the surface layers of the body, muscles and skin, and pretense and defense, kind of waterfall down into the feet and the ground. And letting maybe something from the ground coming up the legs through the arch of the feet. A strength up the middle. And coming into being human, and what a simple difference it makes. Just how are you holding your hands? Are they loose? Are you at the elbows, which all the sort of, what is that called? Like nonverbal communication experts will tell you never to do, but how does it actually feel? Allowed to feel, allowed for things to be different. And sometimes we can kind of feel a match between this moment, time of day, moment in my life, and just my hands want to just, I want to hold my wrists in the front and let that filter through and down into the feet. And then also, not only that outer posture, but if I'm sort of bringing presence into my feet, how is that in the moment? Or is my intuition or best guess that I'd rather feel like the whole body moving? And things happen differently. All of these things make a difference. So keeping it really simple, just walking back and forth. And playing with your sense of time. So really, there's only about half an hour usually for walking, because you take your time getting up, going out of the hall, maybe you need to go to the bathroom, and then you're walking, and you want to be back in the hall 5 minutes before the meditation starts, so you can really settle in and be arrived. So in that half an hour, more or less, what would give a feeling of having all the time in the world? What would give a feeling of being allowed to be yourself? You can go as fast or slow, whatever is more connecting. Sometimes you might even find it so delicious just starting to take one step and feeling all that happens in that foot that you're stepping into. And then, oh, what about that foot I'm stepping off of? You go back, like, wow. So feeling for what's yummy in your feet especially can be really great. And also playing with another aspect of timelessness would be that sense of stepping into now. Stepping into now. Now. And feeling what that's like to actually a little bit more realize there's nothing else. There's actually nothing else. Like being the front of a wave. And then when you notice you're really like trying to be the front of a wave or something, and you feel all that tension in the body and like, okay, just myself. And then it can be interesting to play with an inner atmosphere. You might feel more like the childlike way would be helpful medicine, or like a leopard way, or a snake, or a cloud, or something that might help you just move and notice that it's felt in a way that leaves room. It's open. And the last two things I want to mention. One with walking, one thing that's different from being in the hall is that often you might have your eyes open, and with your eyes open, it's a different way of experiencing the other people here. And so someone enters your peripheral vision, so someone's there, you're kind of trying to be here, and there's someone, and you feel like, oh, or whatever. Sort of strategy or conditioning activates without your permission. And just feeling how that acts in the body and in the mind. And kind of, sometimes we can almost feel that like a metal structure, like a jungle gym or something, if we could just almost acknowledge it, but at least not take it as real, that that person hates you or wants to marry you or whatever, or that it matters what they are thinking about anyway, that has nothing to do with you. So that's really good. It's great to have the chance on a retreat where we're going in to notice that aspect of our inner life that's in reaction to what we're seeing that seem to be other human beings out there. And sometimes being with that jungle gym structure with some kindness can help. But especially just feeling that it's there, and then is there something more soft or fluid, or I'm okay anyway? Maybe holding your thumb could be a good thing. If you're finding the mind is going constantly to what they think of me, then maybe just hold your thumb and bury your feet again. So it's not like you're doing something wrong when you notice that. It's great to have the chance to notice that and find that that's not true. It's just something that the mind has gotten shaped that way. Everybody. And then the last thing would be playing with what happens just before we actually move. So not the thought, I'm going to lift my foot. It's not thinking, but it's also not yet the foot lifting. There's a nonverbal direction given to the muscle, kind of, that gives permission to lift. So it's not quite within the realm of me, myself, and I, because sometimes my hand scratches the itch before I realize. So it got permission to move without me giving it permission. So starting to be in touch with that, you could, sometimes it's better to play first with an arm movement, because with the feet, there's all the balancing that's involved, or your head, or a hand, or just a finger, or whatever, where it's like, okay, I'm gonna play with lifting my arm, and then I'm gonna lower my arm. And it's like the child game of Simon Says. Do you have something like that here? Simon Says, lift your arm. Simon Says, lower your arm. Simon Says, lift your arm, lower your arm. That game. That if Simon doesn't say lower your arm, don't lower it. So you're lifting your arm, and you're lowering your arm, and then you're about to lift your arm, but you don't. Sometimes it gives you a chance to feel that kind of before the lift. So don't try to catch every single one of those before every single part of your step, unless you really get that, it's like really juicy to you, that's fine. But if it's more like you're thinking about it, which is usually how we have to start, because that's what we're most used to doing, is through thinking. Our entrance. So just here and there, from time to time, you could play Simon Says with some movement. And gradually it might start to come back to you in moments where you're about to say something and you would regret that for the rest of your life. That's when you get comfortable, that's what might come to your mind again and again. If only I hadn't said that one word, or if I hadn't said it in that tone, or so it just gives more of a chance that our actions and our words and then even our thoughts come through kindness instead of through programming. Slowly, slowly. Okay? So since we're just here, we have this day and a half still. Don't like crowd your meditation time. Just enjoy silently walking. And all that I've just said can come with you, and it might come up while you're walking, or it might come up next year, or it might never come up. But not to feel like you have this whole list of things you have to do now and all in half an hour, and just feel that sense of time and, if possible, kind of letting it waterfall down your back into the ground, and here you are. And you know how to walk. And you have feet. Any question or anything to say about walking?
About like to direct this attention to the programming, and I think that there is a lot of positive programming in our body, like for breathing, digesting, even walking is like program, which is, and then maybe like about the differences, or is it helpful for me?
Yeah. Great. So the question is about there are programming such as in the body that we depend on, like the programming to breathe. And so I'm just asking us to feel if we can start to be somewhere that can feel what's programming and what isn't. And what's the programming that's biological, that's fine. Great. Breathing, nice. But that's not all there is. So there might also be some programming like language that we want to kind of keep. Sometimes it's helpful.
Sometimes.
And also, there's biological breathing, and then there's like psychological breathing. So there's the programming that's also kind of meshed with my just organic biological breathing. And just learning. So it's not like, oh, programming is bad, get rid of it. It's easy to think that way, so I'm really glad you're asking. Yeah. And what's cool is that by just being in touch with, oh, this is programming, what's more artificial and unnecessary or even unhelpful or even impossible to live with, actually just by being connected without the feeling of right and wrong and not looking for what's wrong, but just in touch, oh, that's programming. What's artificial starts to fall apart. And what's life-supporting stays for as long as we have that, whatever, luck or... Okay, thank you. Let's see, I think... Yeah, so there's 25 minutes until the next meditation in the hall. I also just want to mention, sometimes you might feel like meditating longer after a meditation session, which is you're very welcome to do. Just keep track of then, if you're still in here when the next meditation starts, do you want to stay that whole 45 minutes or not? So even though it's deep rest and I'm asking you and respecting you to find your own way, we're in a group on a schedule, and the silence and stillness in the hall is, there's a tenderness to it when we're going through deep rest. And so it really matters if someone just gets up and leaves 5 minutes before the bell. It matters. Someone might have to, and we can accommodate that. They're sick and they have to go. But if you're just kind of like, oh, I want to be first in line at breakfast, or I don't know why, but I'm just getting up, or if possible, kind of staying.